This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
I just can't get this thought out of my mind, you know, about how we were created. Amen? Now, that we were created to worship, that we were created in the image of God. You know, Scripture very clearly tells us that we are made in God's image, in His likeness. And there's just something powerful about that when we truly grasp and get a hold of what that means. You know, have you ever felt worthless? Have you ever felt worthless? Like you have no value? Like you were just wandering through this world day in and day out? Maybe you don't even see the purpose in all that you do. And I'd be willing to bet this morning that many of you have felt this or even are feeling it at this very moment. I feel very strongly this morning that there is someone in this room that is feeling worthless today. In 1502 in Florence, Italy, there was a large block of marble given to a church in Santa Maria. The church immediately hired who they thought was a professional to sculpt this enormous, huge piece of rock. The man was not a professional, and soon after commencing this great task, the man drilled a hole right at the bottom, destroying this magnificent piece of marble. So the church decided just to drape a huge sheet over it, not knowing what else to do, since it had been damaged beyond recognition and repair. A certain man by the name of Michelangelo, you may have heard his name before, caught word of this large stone and how it had been destroyed. So out of curiosity, he went to check it out and thought, hey, I think I can do something here. I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but that's the Oliver version, okay? After a time, he began to work and sculpted. And what was once thought to be a lost cause, hear me, what was once thought to be a lost cause became one of the greatest statues of the biblical character of David ever built. One of the world's most famous sculptures out of this piece of marble that was damaged. You may feel like that gigantic slab of marble this morning. I know that many do in our world today. Perhaps battered and bruised, perhaps lacking substance. Perhaps someone who has been discarded by certain people. But I want to encourage you this morning that you are not here by accident, that you are valuable. There is a purpose for your life, and there is someone who desires to get you there. And in the capable hands of the Lord Almighty, we can be molded into something beautiful. We can become God's masterpiece. This morning, I want us to look at a portion of Scripture in the book of Jeremiah and the 18th chapter. And I apologize that none of this is on the screen this morning, but hopefully you have your favorite handheld device that has the Bible app downloaded on it. We know you got it on there. Or you have your wonderful paper Bible, which I encourage you to bring every Sunday. There's just something about reading God's word out of the paper. I don't know why. Oh, I got stuff flying everywhere. Hey, praise the Lord. There's just something powerful about reading from God's word. Jeremiah chapter 18. And in this passage, we see the picture of God's work in us. We see that no matter how many mistakes we have made, no matter how miserably we have failed, that God does not just cast us to the side. Instead, He takes us, broken pieces and all, and remolds us and reshapes us into a new creation. The prophet Jeremiah needed desperately to be reminded of this wonderful truth. He prophesied in a time when Israel had become a divided nation. There was a northern kingdom and then there was a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was Judah. And Jeremiah's prophetic ministry was to the people of Judah. And in those years when Jeremiah preached and prophesied the word of the Lord, Judah had a series of really, really bad kings who led the people of Judah down a path of idolatry and wickedness. And despite his pleas for repentance, Judah continued to move farther and farther away from God and closer to destruction. Judah's sinful rebellion absolutely broke Jeremiah's heart. It would be kind of like me as your pastor and me seeing you going down a path that is not of the Lord. And truly, as a pastor, it breaks my heart to witness those kind of things. This is where Jeremiah was. It broke his heart. Even though he carried a strong message, Jeremiah had a tender heart, and he was often referred to as the weeping prophet. Has anybody ever heard that before, that he was the weeping prophet? A few of you, okay? He's known as the weeping prophet. And so knowing that Jeremiah needed some reassurance that his prophetic ministry had not been in vain, God takes Jeremiah on a little field trip, so to speak. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. And it says this: "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred by his hands, or marred in his hands, excuse me. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me," he said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." When Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house, God was silent at first. And he allowed Jeremiah to watch as the potter began to work. Now, I don't know how these guys do it. Have you ever watched a potter? You know, they take this little lump of something, but then it gets shaped and molded. He watched as the potter took this lump of clay and twisted it and kneaded it and pounded it until all the bubbles and impurities were out of it, and it was soft and pliable. Then the potter took that lump of clay and threw it on the wheel and began to work it with his talented fingers and smooth it out and start shaping the clay into something useful and beautiful. But then in verse 4, we see that the clay became marred. Perhaps it picked up some impurities like sand or grit, or maybe it began to dry out and harden and became less pliable. You know, all of us have been in a position or in this position at one point or another. If we get down to the nitty-gritty, the simple fact is, and we say it all the time, that Romans 3:23 tells us we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As we're being molded and shaped, that sin that is in our life can mar us and make us feel as though we are not worthy, make us feel as though we are worthless, make us feel as though we are broken. We all have impurities in us. We all have those things we have gone through that make us hard. Come on, somebody. We all go through things in life that make us hard. Now, I don't know what that looks like in your life, but I do know that each of us has been there and done that. Even those who have served the Lord all the days of their life, praise God for that, have had moments when they became marred. Are you hearing me today? None of us are exempt. You hear me say that all the time. Even your pastor is not perfect. Praise be to God. I wouldn't want that pressure. The only one who ever lived a perfect life was Jesus. So I wonder what that looks like in your life. Think about it. Just as the church was in our story at the beginning of my message this morning, the world is quick to throw the imperfect to the side, to cover it up so that no one else can see it. You know, we like to put on the masks that say, oh, look at me, I'm perfect, I'm happy, I'm bubbly, but yet on the inside you feel like you're dying. Or when one little thing happens and you think, well, there's no way I can do this again because of this. Come on. It's easy to be cast to the side. You know, we like to solve our problems that way sometimes too, don't we? We like to cover them up with a sheet and pretend they don't exist. But they're still there. The church has been even guilty of this. Those that are marred get cast to the side and labeled unusable, unwanted, or unclean. But I'm here to tell you today that God sees more in you. Just like Michelangelo saw more in the piece of marble that was so-called ruined, God sees the potential in you. He doesn't cast you aside or throw you away. In the hands of the potter, you are still moldable. Hallelujah. Verse 4 again, it says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him. Even though you may feel like a lump of clay today, that has no purpose or nothing to live for, in the hands of the Lord, the potter, you can be molded and shaped into all that he has for you. He can take our imperfections and use it for his glory. If we will let him. If we will let him. Thank you, Jesus. But there's some things that we must realize in order for him to do this. The first thing we need to understand is that God is in control. Just like the lump of clay, we don't form ourselves. We like to think so sometimes. You know, I built this, I did that. But it doesn't work that way. Whether we like to admit it or not, we're being formed and shaped either by the world around us and our circumstances. We're like the new haircut place that opened up and they wanted to attract customers, so they advertised a grand opening special, $7 haircuts. Well, this didn't go well with their competition, who was a few doors down from that, from them in the same strip mall, so they decided to put up a sign of their own that read, we fix $7 haircuts. God is good at fixing our $7 haircuts. Come on, somebody. That is from personal experience. Come on. When I had hair, I was very picky with it, and I got a $7 haircut, and it had to be fixed. We're just going to leave it right there. Come on, he can take the circumstances that we've gone through and use it to shape us. When we surrender our lives to him, God takes what the enemy and the world meant for your destruction and turns it into something good. You've heard me preach on that. When we surrender, we become a new creation. We become the righteousness of God. And he begins to form us into something beautiful. The Bible tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I love that passage of Scripture, Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. It says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Oh, Proverbs 16:9 declares that we may make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. It's when we try to do it all on our own that it gets all out of whack. Come on. Which reminds me of the man who woke up one morning and found a puddle of water in the middle of his king-size waterbed. Well, he thought, well, in order to fix the puncture, I'm going to have to take it outside, fill it with more water just so I can locate the leak. And as he filled it with water, the bed started rolling on the hill outside of his house. And it landed on a clump of bushes that punctured and poked numerous holes into the waterbed. Disgusted, he threw it away, as well as the bed frame. He spent the next few hours taking his old traditional bed frame back into his bedroom, and the next morning he awoke to find a puddle of water in the middle of his new bed. Turns out the upstairs bathroom was leaking. Quit trying to fix things on your own. Woo! Man. Quit trying to fix things on your own. That's like me trying to fix the engine of my car. I have no clue what I'm doing. I might could change the oil, but that's about it. But God, come on somebody, but God is the ASC certified mechanic of our lives. 2,000 plus years ago, God bought us at a price, sending Jesus to die for our sins on the cross, the righteous one, the Lamb of God, the anointed one, the one we sang about this morning. Since we belong to God, he wants us to trust him with our lives, knowing that by surrendering to his will, he will mold us and shape us into the very best we can be. You know, it's a funny thing, trust. You know, we can say all the time that we trust God. We trust him. We pray, Lord, we trust you. Yet when it comes to taking that step of trust, we hang back. Come on, sometimes when we're talking about trust in the Lord, you are going to have to take a step of faith. That wasn't even in my notes. You're going to have to take a step of faith. Yes, we trust him. Yes, God is going to do the work, but sometimes we have to move out of what is comfortable and into something that's uncomfortable. Phew. Mercy sakes. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I've tried doing it on my own. But it wasn't until I surrendered my life to Christ that he was able to take the mess that I had made and do something with it. Again, your pastor's not perfect. I'm not proud of my past, but I thank the Lord that I serve the one who redeems, who restores, who reconciles us back to the Father, who paved the way for us upon the cross, who said, your past is your past. Hallelujah. 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 God is in control. On the same vein that we're already talking about, God will transform our mess. Aren't you thankful? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Says this, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, so we ask, what's it there for, right? Which refers to the verse in front behind it. There's silver and gold, and there's wood and clay. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Isn't it beautiful that God can take what is broken and beat down and transform it into something beautiful? He takes something that was dishonorable and makes it honorable. It's like the caterpillar who isn't the prettiest thing to look at. They're kind of ugly if you ask me. But if it lives long enough to be transformed, it becomes something beautiful in a butterfly. You and I have this same opportunity. don't fall into the trap of trying to do it on your own. So many times we turn to things that just make it worse. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be sex, or even food to try and mask and cover up what's going on. But there is a God who will give you, in Isaiah chapter 61, it tells us this, he will give you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That's our God. Hallelujah. If we but surrender our lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if we like clay in the hands of the potter, allow him to mold us and shape us, he will make something beautiful, a masterpiece. Hallelujah. Frank Peretti, in his book, The Wounded Spirit, says, God does not waste an ounce of our pain or a drop of our tears. Suffering doesn't come our way for no reason, and he seems especially efficient at using what we endure to mold our character. If we are malleable, which means if you're pliable, if you're easily molded, he takes our bumps and our bruises and shapes them into something beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. This doesn't mean the process won't be difficult. God may ask you to hand over some things that you've buried for a long time. He may ask you to forgive that person that hurt you. He may ask you to turn over something that's been binding you, holding you in chains, and holding you back. The potter will work out all of those impurities that can mar the clay, so that it's shaped and molded. It will be able to withstand the fire and withstand the process. God will redeem the mess you come out of. I am a living example that God can redeem a mess. Hallelujah. I'll be the first to admit I made some pretty dumb mistakes in my younger years. The clay was definitely marred. I allowed outside influences to dictate what I was becoming. You know, I was a good kid growing up. I never got into trouble. You can even ask my mom. Next time she's here, you can ask her. I was a pretty good kid. But I turned from that into someone completely opposite. Now, I could stand here and tell you that it was someone else's fault. I could put blame on the friends that I was hanging around with. But the truth is, I allowed it to happen. I allowed it to happen. So hear me this morning when I tell you, don't blame somebody else for your mess. Yes, we grew up in hard circumstances. We grew up in hard homes. But yet, you have a choice. Don't blame somebody else for your mess. But when Jesus came into my life, hallelujah, he redeemed what had been marred. He took a sinner and transformed him into something beautiful. I mean, I think I'm beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. He took a sinner and transformed it into something beautiful. He gave me an amazing life, a beautiful wife, and a daughter that has my heart, and a church that has my heart. I didn't deserve it, and I didn't earn it, but God transformed this mess, and he can do the same for you this morning. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 explicitly tells us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. The things of the world that you run to try to mask the hurt, to mask the mess that you're in, that is not where the transformation comes from. It comes from the Lord. The world will only take you further away from Him. The world will only take you further into destruction. Let God transform you into a new person. Hallelujah. Be made new. Just as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Be made new today. Don't stay a lump of clay. Become something beautiful. Hallelujah. As I bring this to a close this morning, I want to share a story with you. Thank you, Jesus. There was a couple who used to go to England to shop in the beautiful stores, and they both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. This was their 25th wedding anniversary. One day in this beautiful shop, they saw a beautiful teacup, and they said, "May we see that? We've never seen one quite so beautiful." As the lady handed it to them, suddenly the teacup spoke. "That's odd. You don't understand," it said. "I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time when I was red and I was clay. My master took me and rolled me and patted me over and over, and I yelled out, 'Let me alone!' But he only smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then I was placed on a spinning wheel," the teacup said, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around, and he yelled, "Stop it, I'm getting dizzy." But the master only nodded and said, "Not yet." Then he put me in the oven. I have never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me. And I yelled and knocked at the door. I could see him through the opening, and I could see and read his lips, and he shook his head and he said, "Not yet." Finally, the door opened and he put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. "There, that's better." And he brushed and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible. I thought I would gag, and I cried out, "Stop it, stop it." And he only nodded and said, "Not yet." Then suddenly he put me back in the oven. Not like the first one. This was twice as hot. And I knew I would suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried. All the time I could see him through the opening nodding his head saying, "Not yet." Then I knew there wasn't any hope. I would never make it. I was ready to give up. But the door opened and he took me out and placed me on the shelf. 1 hour later, he handed me a mirror and I couldn't believe it was me. "It's beautiful. I'm beautiful." "I want you to remember then," he said. "I know it hurts to be rolled and patted, but if I had left you alone, you would have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel, but had I stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad and when I brushed and painted you all over, but if I hadn't done that, you would have never hardened. You would not have had any color in your life. And if I hadn't put you back in the second oven, you wouldn't survive for very long because the hardness would not have held. Now you are a finished product. You are what I had in mind when I first began with you." Hallelujah. As we close, let me encourage you today. The Bible tells us that we are knit together in our mother's womb.
Think about the potter that we were just talking about. In your mother's womb, he's been, from the very beginning, he was molding you and shaping you, growing you, placing every hair on your head, placing every wrinkle in your fingertips. But he didn't stop there. Since you were born, things have been shaping you and molding you from your parents. And somewhere along the way, maybe you have allowed the world to shape you, have allowed outside influences to shape who you are and who you've become, that tell you what to go to in times of trouble, that tell you what to do when you're frustrated, that tell you what to do when you're sad. But I want to encourage you this morning that you are not here by accident. You were never a mistake. You were never a problem to just set to the side. You are God's masterpiece. And he doesn't want to stop molding you now that you're here. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to make you a masterpiece, something beautiful. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, Israel. Come on, you could put your name in that very spot. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, Oliver. You are in my hand, Casey. You are in my hand, David. You are in my hand, Chuck, Martha, Karina, Tatum, Maria. You are in my hand. Thank you, Jesus. Edwin, you are in my hand. Thank you, Lord. He wants to make you a masterpiece. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment this morning. I'm very much a preparation kind of guy. I don't do things on a whim. And so for the Lord to impress upon me to do this message instead of the one I have prepared, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt there is someone in this room this morning that needs to know and understand that God desires for you to be his masterpiece. You're not just some piece of trash that has been discarded. You were created in his image, in his likeness. You were created for relationship with him. You were created to be reconciled unto him through Jesus. The blood on the cross that Jesus shed covered your mess. Every sin, every blemish, every imperfection, Jesus went to the cross for and covered it by his blood. Every wound upon his back, every stripe from the whip, every piece of flesh that was ripped away from him was to make you whole and bring you healing. But here, so many times we get so stuck on that he died for us, but yet here's the beautiful fact of that is that he rose again for us. He didn't stay in the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave in order that you might be redeemed by the blood that he shed upon the cross. He rose from the grave so that you can say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own anymore. Can't do this anymore. Jesus, we need you. Today, if you are in this room and you feel like you've been discarded, that the sheet placed over you just to be forgotten, I hope you know that God has not forgotten you. God knows exactly where you are. God knows that you are sitting in this room this morning. He knew that you would be here today. You are here by divine appointment. And he wants to say to you this morning, trust me. Trust me with your hurt. Trust me with your brokenness. Trust me with your doubts. Trust me with your insecurities. Trust me. If that's you this morning, if that's you today, maybe you've been turning to other things or you have just felt like a shell, whatever that may be. If that's you today and you say, Jesus, I want to trust you today. Would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else? Stand with me all across this room. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. If you raised your hand to that question this morning, you know, a few moments ago, sometimes, you know, I talked about trust and trust and trust, and we can say it, we can say it, we can say it, but sometimes there needs to be a step of faith. Now, this isn't to embarrass anybody. This isn't to call you out. It's not what I'm desiring this morning. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a step out from your seat and come to the front this morning. And I want to have some of our church family pray for you. Come on, if that was you, if you rose your hand, step out right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got two ladies that are here this morning. So can we get some ladies to get together? This is where the church becomes the church, right? We don't do life alone. This life isn't about walking on our own. There can be more than one person with them. So if anybody else wants to step out, feel free. And this is where the church becomes the church. Because see, we don't do life alone. We don't go about this walk of faith blindly and try to figure it out on our own. You have a family that loves you, that wants to do this life with you. You know, because that's where we really grab a hold of what God is doing in us, when we have family and friends that are there to lift up our arms and say, you've got this. You have this. God's with you. You are not alone. Because the enemy likes to tell you that you are alone, that there's no possible way that anybody could love you. But I want you to look around this room and see a room full of people that love you. Come on. So this is where the rubber meets the road. We stop playing games and we say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. And you may have made that commitment before, but listen, today is a new day. And you're going to step forward from this place a new person, set free, burdens lifted, worry gone,
anxiety gone. And he is going to make you a beautiful masterpiece in his hands.